it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Looks great.
Looks great. Feels great.
Boy, you can tell this guy's worked in Hollywood before. Looks great. My your hair does look stellar, long. Pete. I got to be honest. You're my third friend. What if they were all Pete's? No, you're my third friend that is growing his hair out during the pandemic. Do you say during the pandemic, during quarantine, or during COVID, first of all?
I like what I'm not just mirroring you. I do say during the pandemic.
Right. So during during the P, do you feel like it's the time to kind of, you know, let things go? Because what are you keeping it clean for? And to piggyback on that, you're letting the hair grow and I dig it. And you're my third friend that's doing that. And it's a great look. So I don't know what you're going to do.
I appreciate. This is so boring. So I'll keep it real, real quick. One of my things that I've, whenever my hair got real long, the number one reason I got a haircut was because I don't have sideburns. I get just like this hair, but long.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Sort of like a Hasid. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what they would curl.
Yes.
So it's just like the side hair. Okay. Right. So it's not actually a sideburn. It's just like long and it's sort of off like bad, bad vinyl siding. It's like coming off the house. So I just have this like kind of curving.
By the way, does that make you
what I wish was a sideburn?
Yeah. Does it make you an authentic Heeb if just your sideburns want to be Jewish? Like, what is that?
First of all, I don't know if we're allowed to say.
And is it anti-Semitic if you shave it?
Yes, I think it would. No, because from what I understand about our chosen friends, they don't. Really, they're not really interested in me. They don't want me.
Oh, you know really? I mean, so, there's been a meeting.
There's been attempts. I had my landlord in Brooklyn was a rabbi, and
oh god, is this a start to a 5-minute bit?
No, his temple was right up the street, and I always used to drop hints that I would love to be invited to go to his temple.
I love that.
Like that I've studied in the Holy Land, and I would literally try to shoot the shit about the Old Testament with him, or as he calls it, the whole story. That's a bit. So this is what human beings do. I'm basing a few times that my Jewish friends have not been interested in converting me and saying they're not interested. I'm sure some maybe more liberal Jewish sects would want me to curl my queues and get in the queue called the Jew queue.
God, the original title for Hollywood Squares.
That was the Jew Cube.
God damn it, you professional comic with multiple specials. Yeah, ousted me in my own pot.
Oh, none of us are any of those things. Now we're just a bunch of heads eating over the sink. That's what we are now. All of those credits have been revealed to be what they truly are, which is nothing. It's just the past.
Oh.
It doesn't exist. It's not real. So we're all equal now. And hey, we can enjoy that.
I wanted to, after we had some fun text exchange a few weeks ago, I was like, you know what, man? Like, I miss seeing your face around the clubs. And every time we've podcasted, yours, ALN, You Made It Weird, which, by the way, one of the best podcasts on the planet. Your chat with Sandler, I was telling you, was like, I don't even, like, I put it up there with Marin's Obama. Which sounds like a sex term that you pay a little person to do to you in Vegas.
He gave me Marin's Obama. It was like 7 minutes of sort of what was going on in his life. But when the commander in chief showed up, I came so hard.
Let's just say that's an STD I'm willing to pay for. We'll be right back. No, but the interview was so – you asked all the questions. Sandler, to me, is up there with Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, Farley, Belushi in this, like, Eddie Murphy, Chappelle, these guys that just have influenced me so hard and just are so, especially with Sandler, and you've gotten to now do this where you get to be in a position where you're running a show, talk show, a scripted series, where you get to employ friends and you're kind of at the helm creatively. And that to me is the fucking dream. And you yeah. do it and have done it and are doing it. And we'll continue to do it. And Sandler, to me, is like the guy that kind of just really got to do it first well and has kept it going. And is yeah. and there's a reason for that. Where and you broke it down with him and you asked him all the questions that I would want to. And because, you know, sometimes you see someone get on a pod and you're like, all right, well, I know this guy's interview style. It's not going to be the one that I'm going to love, but I'm going to listen because I love the guest. But
yeah,
you're
yeah.
that right amount of silly. To where Sandler, you're going to get some silly Sandler, which you got a lot of. And then you ask really, you know, thinking, cerebral, thoughtful questions that made him kind of really break down his process, which I've never heard unless it's in a Vanity Fair Hollywood Reporter roundtable, which even that feels yeah. just too pressure-packed to where they are kind of trying to say the right thing, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah. I think so, it's yeah. like my theory on that is it's the cameras. I really appreciate that. He's been one of those guys that even when I was young, I don't think I ever dared to dream to be like Sandler because he was already, even when we were young, I mean, he was doing Billy Madison,
yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
So he was already doing what you mentioned, which was like working with his friends, doing, I keep saying like the next project I do, I really want it to have a blooper reel. And that's just a way of saying like, I want it to be like silly. And really funny and like hard to get through. And that's sort of all he does. Like he only does stuff where I'm like, you're fist fighting with Bob Barker. That had to be a silly day. Like there's right. no way that was a, people were like, ah, oh, we're losing light. Like I'm sure it was like a fun day.
Yeah. Barker's like, hurry up, kick me in the dick. He's like, dude, we got to set up the lights first, man.
It's in the script. Yeah. He's like, it's not in the script that you like it. He was later in life. There's sort of like a confidence, an inner confidence that's required to dream some of our bigger dreams. And it took me later in my career for me to like admit to myself and to others, like, oh, I'd like to be like Sandler. Cause that's that's like saying you want to be like Jordan. And I'm not trying to fluff Sandler too much. I'm just saying like, you get to do as many movies as you want. And you get to do them with who you want to do them with. And you get to have, like, you know, the prestige of being in, I don't think you'd mind me saying, Judd was like, I think he's our Nicholson. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, wow. Look at his drama. It doesn't get any better. And I was yeah. like, I really think you might be on to something. Wow. He's got it both coming and going.
Yeah.
Comedy is going, by the way. There's nothing funny about coming. wait, don't rip on that. Don't rip on that. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. Pull the nose up.
Do we are in that
You're
place.
You're doing
where...
an Obama, Marin.
A Marin Obama.
You're doing it a Marin Obama.
It works
right
both
now.
Ways. It's still funny. But I was having, you know, I wanted to chat with you again because, like, the belly laughs are so deep and guttural. And I realized I got in a pretty healthy monotony of just like not, I don't want to say not smiling a lot, but not like laughing a lot. And I was like, because I'm not, yeah. even if you're doing a, you know, a FaceTime with your rapper brother-in-law who's white and not Eminem. Or you're, you know, you're trying to cheer up your pops fresh out of hospice, not him, my stepmom, and whoop, got weird. Wow. And so, I haven't been like, I don't know that,
no,
that the routine, yeah, man, and then just the overall arc of what's going on, and even it's the other heavy. Day, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I asked Alexa to play Hootie and the Blowfish as I got in the shower. She turned on REM and I go, not even Alexa wants to play ball. And that was devastating. I go, she goes, no, we're not, today's not a Hootie day. I'm also not a fan. So you don't even get to pick what you bought for, bitch. She didn't say that. If she did, then it really would have been an awful weekend. But I was like,
go fuck
yourself. Yeah. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Man, it's good to be back. And you know what? The best part about being back is sharing the goodies with you, the fans. I love candles, okay? You know from listening to this podcast, we've always had candles living around the apartment and now my new place. And I'm tired of buying the bullshit candles from the store. I want some personal touch. I want something handmade. So that's why I found Hangover Candle Company. That's right. Homemade by a bartender in Fort Collins, Colorado. He's a big comedy fan, podcast fan, reached out, said, I love the pod. Would love to send you some candles. I'm like, I'm not comfy giving you my address. He's like, come on, trust me. I was like, all right, let's roll the dice. Boom. Now I've got fucking 40 different flavors of Hangover Candle Company candles in my place. They're cut, sanded, poured, packed, and shipped all by him. And you can choose from over 200 different containers, okay, to build your candle in, and over 40 different scents to create your own smell. You can customize your own scent. Shit, man, they've got flavors like fucking root beer, apple pie, cinnamon stick, coffee, fresh cut grass, hazelnut, lavender, leather, maple syrup, peach, pine, sandalwood, spearmint, sea breeze, vanilla bean, watermelon. Go to Hangover Candle Co. On Etsy, okay? Go to Etsy, type in Hangover Candle Co. It'll pop up the shop, and then pick your candles, and then use the promo code ALN25 at checkout to get 25% off your first order. 25%! Hangover Candle Co. is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. But again, go to Etsy, type in Hangover Candle Co., find the candles and the smells you want, create your own, and then use ALN25 at checkout to get 25% off your first order. I love candles. They're great for any occasions, bar mitzvahs, circumcisions, fucking weddings, funerals, gender reveal parties, divorce parties, coming out parties, coming in parties, coming parties. These candles are the shit, and they're my fave, and I want you guys to have them. So type in Etsy.com and then type in Hangover Candle Co. And pick your candles and use ALN25 at checkout for 25% off. All right? Start smelling better. Start looking better. Start feeling better. Okay? Because everybody farts and candles are a great way to get rid of that. And now back to the episode.
Even if you're not personally going through anything, like I'm fortunate that Val and my baby are okay.
That's first and foremost,
physically,
right?
Well.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I'm doing surprisingly well. I think maybe we talked a little bit about, like, I figured out that I think I'm a learned extrovert, not to get too heady, but like, please. I can be extroverted. I enjoy being extroverted sometimes, but it's sort of in bursts. It sort of tires me out. Like, for more evidence of this, talk to me after two hour long shows on a Friday. Typically I'm going to be pretty like ready to read a book or go to bed. Like I've talked about this before. I was never really like a, like Lenny Clark. If you watch a documentary about Boston stand up in the 80s, like those guys seem like extroverts that do the show. And the show was really just an excuse to like meet everyone in the audience and then party in some weird house in Dorchester. And I was just like, I've always been a little like my heroes are like Seinfeld, and these are guys that are like, you do the show, that's the exchange, we're done, I'm out of here.
If you like, want to go home and get it.
You don't need me to drink. I'm not Captain Morgan, I'm not Jack Daniel, I'm not even Billy Kahlua. Billy, not a Mexican name.
Oh, I'm my
not
God.
Billy Kahlua. But I've always kind of I guess that he might be like me in that like secretly introverted. We get our power from being alone. And that's one of the, so to go back to what you're saying, laughing and being silly, like I was happy to do this and I'm happy to see you. And all of this downtime is sort of reminding me why I got into stand-up, because like I'm rested enough to be silly for its own sake more. I always am, but more. I'm more in touch with that like awkward, sweaty, weird kid that I still am.
Sure.
Even though I know it's very like popular to say you were like a dweeb or a dork, but I'm really like, he's in my body again. And I'm living as him again, because all those things, the specials and the going out and doing spots and basically getting like bumps of affirmation cocaine. That's what doing a spot. You're like, I am a cool guy. Yeah. And you kind of drive home listening to cool music. And you're like, I'm not that guy from high school anymore. I'm a cool cat. All of that is gone. So I'm just like walking around saying shit to Valerie. She loves it, fortunately. I need a better example. But when we occasionally run into people, like we'll have a social distance hang, I catch myself just being like, oh, nothing's changed. And that's why I became a stand-up, was to have like an outlet for all of this like goofy, sort of embarrassing energy.
1,000%.
That like, that doesn't really, here's what it is too. Like, it doesn't even know how to pick up on cues of like, am I being too much?
Yeah.
Am I talking too much at this birthday party? Like that, I felt that way when I was 12. I feel that way now. And that's why we do stand up to get it. It's like taking a dump. So we don't go to a party with a big shit right in our large intestine.
Which can also be a great icebreaker.
I got a big poop in here.
Hey, where's the Corona premiere? Corona premiere? What's the movie? All right, I don't know. There's no Seinfeld beer bit that's going to crush harder than what you did.
Corona premiere. That's what Corona... didn't even know. I thought it was like the debut of a new Corona.
That's
like they have a red carpet. Ooh, swine flu's on the red carpet. Of course, influenza's right in the front row. He's the Jack Nicholson. So the original influenza virus is in the front watching the premiere.
Oh, my God. You're never going to believe this. Marin's Obama just showed up. Can we get one question? Are you still easily contractable in dwarves? I'm sorry.
What I love great... him because you do shows with Brad.
Yes.
You have like such a pass on dwarves.
Such a pass on dwarves. I could say Midge. Brad and I have such a...
You could throw at him. Sure.
I could throw a full... I could say the full word. And guess what? I'm going to choose when I do it during this episode. It's going to be in context. It's going to make sense. And it's going to be to him through FaceTime.
That's the only way to do it. That's too easy.
Keep going. You do bring up a really great point, dude, of when you go to pre being a pro comic to where your friends or people you don't know knew you were that, there is a tricky push and pull of how goofy, silly can I be, excuse me, in public and be myself and hone this thing that I think I'm starting to enjoy and, excuse me, turn into something. Because people, like, great example, like, I'm sure your social distance hangs. Like, even now, I did it a few weeks ago with some friends I hadn't seen in a while. And I felt complete freedom to do and say what I want because they know, trust, and joy that I do it on a pro level and have, you know what I'm saying? Where there's enough that you've done to back up.
I need friends like that. I need the friends that are like, oh, the professional is speaking.
Hilarious.
Mine is, you're a professional?
Oh, no. I have way more of those friends. Let's not get it crossed. I have way more friends that think they're funnier than me. Some are, I think, that just chose to not pursue it and are making way more money.
Can we speak to that?
Yeah.
We need to speak to that.
Yes.
I know we have a lot of irons in the fire, but we have to speak to that.
Please.
Because, like, I love that you're like, first of all, the only way out of that argument is to concede it. When people are like, you know who's funny? My cousin Johnny. Cousin Johnny made me laugh so hard. Fucking Corona premiere came out of my nose. And I don't mean the beer. I mean the first iteration of Corona. It wasn't eating or fucking a bat. It was that moment.
I want to meet that.
I'm like, yes, okay, he probably is. The difference is, and this is Robert Klein, I think maybe even Seinfeld said it too, is like, can he do it at 8 o'clock on a Friday? Similarly, I know you know that. I know you know that. I'm not telling you this to you. I'm just saying it for the listeners. And they've turned off a long time ago.
I saw an interview with
it was an interview about the adult film industry. And one of them was saying something very similar where they're like, they think it's so easy to be the guy. And I think it was Jenna Jameson, who's super famous. And she was like, when people say that to me, they're like, get hard right now. Get hard right now. Get hard right now.
Try to squirt on like, cue, baby.
That's what you say. So if you
good night, everybody. All right. Remember those? Those endings to jokes? All right, sorry.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm on too much of a tear.
No.
Yeah. My mom is here is also what you say when there's one laugh. I love it. It works. It's good.
It always works.
The Don't thing film. You say to cousin Johnny, if he's funnier than you, is you say, be funny right now. And that's what the job is. It's doing something that some people do have a certain amount of natural talent for it. But then the real thing that turns it into a commodity or a job is the level of neuroses and obsession and compulsion that makes you obsessed with like figuring out how to recreate a laugh. Like I make you laugh and immediately you just go like, well, can I recreate that? Is there a way to make that like a heart in a cooler? Can I transplant that laugh that we just had up an elevator into a hospital and into the body of a stranger to make them laugh? That's what stand-up comedy is. It's heart transplant surgery, and it's as important. It's maybe even more important than heart. I want you to take this wrong. Here's your clickbait. Pete Holmes, comedian, says that comedy is more important than healthcare.
But can you squirt on cue? No.
Oh, my God.
That's so funny. No. By the way, the adult film industry, it's great to know.
And who's cue? No, I can't. And who's cue? You see what's happening? I haven't talked to a comedian in like 4 months. So I'm like, ready to go, baby.
Who's cue? Oh, God.
No, I can't. And who's cue?
Pete, if I make Can You Squirt on Cue on the front shirts and on the back, who's cue? Will you wear one to my kid's bar mitzvah? We're talking 20-30 years down the line.
Absolutely. Where it will still play. That bit will still play.
We have a rabbi do it.
A 30-40 half-life, 30-40-year half-life of every joke I tell. You can tell this joke in 2050, and it will get the same laugh, if not more. This is my problem. Like if comedians have to run as politicians, I assure you, a 3% increase in my laughs per minute from my previous special. Vote for me.
Oh, are you holding a toothpick? Because whatever you were saying was a lot more. I took it with a lot more. I was like, oh God, this is fucking, this matters. The toothpick is don't underestimate the power of the toothpick prop. It's a weapon.
It's a weapon. It's
and
a
LeVar,
weapon.
And LeVar Burton said that.
Did he?
Well, okay, quick LeVar Burton story. My senior at USC, he came to guest profess and give a speech to the class. And by the way, love LeVar Burton. The guy made me want to read.
Love Burton.
Lance could do without. LeVar, give me more. welcome back to Burton on Burton. My name is Jerome Burton, discussing who's a better Burton, LeVar.
And special guest, Tim Burton. Can we get more scary trees in here? Get out of here, Tim Burton.
We got enough scary trees in here. Who is that guy, by the way?
Well, I'll say this. When we cut to him, he's surrounded by scary trees. So the joke is now good. Oh. Tim Burton in a TV studio says, can we get more scary trees in here? That's fine. But when it cuts to you, some weird guy saying, we got enough, and he's covered, now I'm laughing. I'm losing my mind.
Oh, dude,
I haven't talked to another person.
You're making me choke laugh. You just reminded me of the quick bit like that. I did when I had to do book reports in high school. I would always find a way to make it creative. I don't know if you were this way with academics. You're a super smart guy, smarter than I for sure. and so I would always just try to do a funny skit or a live sketch for the project or a video. So for this book report, it was Summer of the Monkeys was the name of the book. I don't remember who wrote it. I don't remember if it was a book, but I read the back of it because I just was lazy and I procrastinated. We all did. It was freshman year of high school. And Mr. Barker, my teacher, he was like, I told him I was going to do a video. He's like, very encouraging of that. He's like, that's great. No one else does. I love that you're thinking outside the box. So I read the back of the book to get the synopsis and then proceed to do a talk show where I host – the show, and my buddy plays the kid who starred in the now movie of Summer of the Monkeys, and my buddy is playing Jonathan Taylor Thomas. By the way, he's a Filipino dude, so already we're off to a rocky start, and he's got a thick accent, and I'm asking him questions about Home Improvement. I mean, it's just like, it's not even about the book that I'm supposed to be reporting on. And so,
you're the voice in The Lion King, is that right?
So,
there's a monkey in that. Is it an island? Is it the time of the monkeys? What is it? The island?
Summer of the Monkeys.
Summer of the Monkeys.
So basically,
this call the Serengeti in The Lion King the Summer of Monkeys.
It's basically
there's the monkey that holds him up, is what I'm saying.
Yes, Rafiki, right?
Yeah, basically, it's a Rafiki reference.
It's a Rafiki reference. Drink two if you're playing the Rafiki drinking game at home. So it's Summer of the Monkeys. It's like Gorillas in the Mist for kids, right? And so I go, let's cut to a clip of the movie. And literally my buddy, he had a big backyard, and we have him just open, his back is to camera. He opens some bushes because, like, acting like it's the forest. And then he turns around and goes, where's the monkeys? And then cuts back to me, and I go, I cannot wait to see this film.
Oh, my.
And we did that maybe four more times where I was like, I hear we have another clip. And we just kept cutting to these 2-second blip sound bites. And Mr. Parker played this for the whole class. Six of my friends are dying laughing. And most of the class, it's silent. Mr. Parker stands up and goes, well, that was a thing. And I was like, yikes. I think that means I get a C. And that's what I got. And that's passing.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah.
And that's fine. At least you were there. You were present. And you had something.
Yeah, I had something.
No, you said I'm smarter than you. And I didn't have time to contest. But, like, in high school, I definitely was the dumbest of my group of friends. There were two of us that I think were tied for dumbest. But my friends were really, really, they were wicked smart.
Yeah.
But then whenever I had, if they said the video was allowed, like our teachers were trying to be hip, they'd be like, and it doesn't even have to be an essay. It could be a video. I'd just be like, well, you just got yourself.
15 minutes of time, you'll never get back.
Some bullshit is coming your way.
Oh, by the way, I didn't mention, it was a 15-minute video. Yeah.
God.
That's way too much time. A book report, even
to find
that video. Yeah.
I know. Find it.
And even if you're doing a live book report, that should be 6 minutes tops. Even 7 minutes in heaven was too long for kids trying to finger each other in closets. For a book report.
I'm just kidding. There's nobody there. Hey guys, comedian Adam right here. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the About Last Night podcast. Boy, I gotta tell you, I've been feeling good lately. And the reason why? Koi CBD. That's right. Back in the game. Feeling like my best self. Look, Koi CBD is the best CBD company in the business. I don't care what you hear from other people, other comics. Koi CBD. See, I got so much BBD, CBD inside me. I ain't even fucking talking right. You know why? Because I slept well on the Koi CBD gummies. That's right. They've got everything from tinctures to bath bombs to gummies. They got a skincare line coming soon. They got hand sanitizer during these times. It's very important. So what you want to do, if you want to start feeling like your best self, you want to take some Koi CBD bombs, put them in the bath. Okay. What? Yeah, come on in. Jackson, I'm doing an ad for my podcast. Can you say hi?
Hello.
Say, I use CBD gummies.
I eat CBD gummies.
From Koi.
From Koi.
Koi's the best.
Koi's the best.
It makes me feel good.
It makes me feel good.
I feel like my best self.
I feel my best self.
Look at these muscles.
Look at these muscles.
Kiss them. If you get Koi CBD right now, you go to KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight, and you get 20% off your first order. That's incredible. Bath bombs, tinctures, skincare, hand sanitizer, gummies. They've got everything. They're my favorite. It's who I use. So start using it for you too. I can't recommend these guys enough. They're homies and all their shit works. Jackson, say 20%
off. 20%
off. If you use the promo code About Last Night.
If you use the promo code After Night.
About Last Night.
About Last Night.
Show them those guns again. Kiss them. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
You strike me as someone that you say you weren't the smartest in your group, but I also feel like you were one of those kids that was like, I can wait till the last minute because I can whoop up this thing.
Yes,
I get it quick, so I'm going to, yeah.
Creative intelligence. Yes. I have a lot of fond memories. I've told it before, but one of my fondest, I still think of it sometimes when I'm falling asleep and it makes me smile, is I had a class. I studied in Israel, as we already mentioned. So that's sort of funny.
Yeah.
I studied in Israel. I'm trying to get invited to your temple right now.
Dude, you got the free coupon right now. Oh,
deep,
God.
It is free and you can go. Like, I could have just gone. I'm waiting. Like, where do I get off waiting for a personal invitation?
Because it's
from
more
rabbi.
Fun that way. I don't know. It's authentic.
Guess.
It's. It's like if you go to the Playboy Mansion, do you want to be invited by one of the bunnies or the guy who manages Ralph's, but his buddy can't go? Whose name is Ralph.
You have to be named Ralph to manage a Ralph's. People don't know this. And you have to be named Vaughn to manage a Vaughn's. That's why they're all unmanaged. Except by Theo Vaughn. Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn.
Spends 15 minutes. That's all I got.
That's the only Vaughn you know.
That's the only Vaughn I know. I wonder if Theo Vaughn has a Vaughn's joke, like to address it. I don't know. That's like saying, do I have a joke about Holmes to address it? He's probably
like Sherlock
lived his whole
Holmes?
Life. Exactly. Like, what? Of course I don't. Of course he doesn't. That's like, maybe he does.
Yeah, but
who
it's
knows?
Like, do
maybe.
I have a Sugar Ray joke? Is my email A Ray Sugar? I don't know. Am I going to edit this out so that people don't email me to confirm it?
You should just bleep it so people guess all sorts of like Sugar Ray at AdamRay.net.
By the way, the first guy to bleep his email in a podcast, like how, and also
you can bleep it.
How cool do you think you are that you're going to get, just flooded with, hey, is this you? I did say my number on a podcast once and it did lead
your
to a couple.
Your phone number?
Yeah. And we didn't I meant to go back and cut it out and didn't, and definitely got a handful. It's not a lot. A handful's it's enough to keep you up, but not enough to ruin your life.
Can we talk about the famous people that pretend they're giving their number to people when like the
Rock
will tweet like text me and it's his number, and it just breaks my heart. Because I was a person like this for so long before I sort of came out here and saw how like unsincere or phony or fake things are, that I was like, I have Kevin Hart's number. Like, and you'd call him and be like, Kevin, this is a real Hail Mary, but I need new veneers. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure. I don't know. Like, is that just a service where people get texts from random people?
Yes. And I think
celebrities are looking for more texts.
Yeah,
like they
I think
want
it's
more, their phone vibrating more.
Yeah, you're bringing up an interesting point, because when I see some comics doing it, I go, oh, cool. It doesn't look like that's something. It's almost like a blue check mark, but it looks like another thing where it's like you gotta be this tall,
right?
This
right?
Yeah, you gotta have a number.
You gotta have a number,
and then you're in the fans can interact even more so. And I'll see Whitney post a lot of messages from the people, I guess, to show that it's real. And then, unfortunately, some of them end up being things of like, I'd love to come on your tits. And she'll post that and be like, so glad I'm doing this, And you're like, yeah, that is downside of that for sure. But I don't, that would seem, because then it's like, there's no way you have time if you are at a certain level to respond to all of them. So then you're kind of sitting, you're almost disappointing people that were following you, because they're like, fuck, it's been a week.
I'll be Whitney. You ask me why I'm doing it. I feel like I can do it.
Mm, great. What's up,
Whitney? I'm Whitney Cummings. Hey, Adam.
Why? Are you all right?
I don't know. I don't know why I'm talking this way.
Yeah. Whitney, why do you have why do you have the text thing that your fans can hit you up on?
I don't know. It's something to do. My manager said it was another way to just sort of engage. It helps with tour sales. I don't really, honestly, I don't do it that much. That's what that's like.
There it is. Yeah. And scene.
thanks, Pete, for walking us through the solution to a mystery no one was experiencing. I got it. I'll couch it in a non-Whitney Cummings impression that'll take as long as Adam's book report. That's as much of a time waste that was.
Oh, God.
And it was the Summer of Monkeys. I don't know why I do it. Thank you. I do love, I feel like I have to say that sometimes when I mention people, I'm like, I have to be clear, like, Theo is great, Whitney is great, of none course. Of these people are being
yeah, man. Teased. It's, I, but.
I've gotten in trouble before, though. On my talk show, sometimes someone would come up and would make fun of them or whatever, or not even make fun of them, but not be careful to be like, they're great. If you notice, like, the real pros, like Conan and all these guys, somebody comes up, they'll usually just throw out a, they're great. You know what I mean? And I think yeah. it's for this phenomenon.
Yeah. Maybe. But I do appreciate, though, that you have that ability to laugh at yourself, poke fun. But, like, I don't know. To me, it's like, if you know the intent and you know the person, any sort of comment that follows, I feel like, whether they have to explain after or not, like, I know, even if you hadn't have done that, I'm like, I just know the sweetness that is Pete Holmes. So you move past.
That's the privilege. That's yeah. the privilege of comedians that I miss. I think that's what we're sort of saying for the most part. And that's the phenomenon of what a roast is. Like, it's such a weird, like, if yeah. you're an anthropologist, like, from another planet even, and you're just like, this is one of the weirdest rituals that the species of being does. They get together and say the worst, meanest things. But the roasts that I've done have not only been really cathartic to me, being able to have a space where it's safe to be really nasty, because we all have nasty thoughts.
Sure.
And we're all, if you're like me, you're probably conflicted about your nasty thoughts. You feel sort of ashamed that you, I think I said Blake Griffin, I roasted Blake Griffin, and I said he looked like the love child of Morgan Freeman, because he's a black guy with freckles.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, we're sort of creating a space where that's what our brains do. Speaking of the Summer of Monkeys, in spiritual work, you call it the monkey mind, the mind that just won't stop. I've also heard the drunken monkey. Yep. It just won't stop thinking things. So I've been thinking about this lately. Like, you watch a show like The Office, and we laugh so hard at Steve Carell. And yes, what he's saying is funny, but we also sort of relate. And I'm like, but we're not like that. I think we relate because our minds are like that. You say something, your brain just thinks 15 things, and 7 of them are so stupid. 6 of them are inappropriate. 4 of them don't even make sense. 3 of them, I lost count. I don't know how many of them are 15. So what I'm saying is, we're looking for ways to, like, sort of exercise all of the complicated feelings of being human. So I get to play nasty.
Yes.
I even did it as a character called Mean Pete, because people know me as, like, a sweet guy. So I was like, that guy's gone. This is Mean Pete. And I'm roasting everybody. And that felt so good. And it felt even better to be roasted by Blake and by the other people who have roasted me. That doesn't mean I want, like, strangers on the street to come up. But no. When you're in that sort of tribe, we can do it. We can yes. do the weird. It's almost like a virgin sacrifice. It's sacrificing something precious to the comedy gods. It's
yeah.
And doing something you shouldn't do, but for the sake of the group. And it sort of cleanses everybody when it's done right. I've also seen roasts that are just like, you're breaking rules. You're roasting people that aren't here. You're roasting people that aren't established enough. If you had roasted me when I was a year in, I would have been like, you really think I should quit? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Like, yeah,
that's why you do it later. Do it later.
I know there. It is interesting to see in the roast, any roast with pros, when there is also, and I think it was maybe Sarah Silverman that said on Stern, or even Saget, I know famously has said that he was very uncomfortable during his. And I'm always fascinated, because I guess I just thought everyone that was doing them, they did as good a job performing and delivering as they did taking the abuse, that I was like, oh, everyone is just so cool with this. But it's like
I think the problem is it those are televised. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be televised. I'm saying, of course, how could I know how anybody feels? But when I did these roasts, they were not televised. So it feels like you're going down into, like, an Aztec kill floor, where, like, nothing is recorded. Nothing is shown to anybody that's not there.
So it felt safer? Or
and it feels safer. But if you do 500 Sarah Silverman is old jokes, I think it's more hurtful, which is what it was, I think.
Yeah.
It's more hurtful that you're introducing that into the collective, into, like, millions and millions and millions of people are going to hear Sarah Silverman is whatever, and that makes it worse. Whereas, yeah, I don't know if I would want millions of Twitter people hearing Blake Griffin tease me for my show being canceled or whatever, and then them being like, this is what he likes. He laughed. And then they start doing it. Yeah. I don't know. Don't you think the publicness makes it worse?
Of course. God, that's what is that called when people just like hear something, I guess the consistency of some sort of, I mean, it's obviously like where we are now with clickbait and no fact checking and just, it's printed, it's real, and we just kind of see, like, but when something is kind of, like, in a roast, I know that for myself, as you said that, like, I'll hear something a certain amount of times, and I go, yeah, that guy is a shitty singer. Like, after the, right. People make jokes about it, and then I'm like, I used to like Lionel Richie, but these guys are digging in hard. Like,
well, they just did that? A thing. I'm watching The Office, as I mentioned, and yeah. Rainn Wilson, Dwight Schrute, does, yes. It's Wilson, right?
Yeah.
He does a joke about how he has a small nose. And I was like, I can never not look at you having and not think you have a small nose now. So there is power in these labels. That's why I keep kind of invoking this sort of like magic dark ceremony. Yeah. It's sort of like, let's pick up the weird Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom curved black blade and let's play with it. But it's dangerous stuff. We know this from bullying, but we also know this from just like, we know this with how you walk around now and just watch your mind and be like, that hat looks like the hat of someone who might have COVID. I'm going to cross the street. Like our brains are so stupid and so impressionable that it is sort of, it can be a dark magic to say, you know, look at high school. Look at the rumors that went around in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the movie Easy A. It's a good example of like how a rumor can become a fact because that's what the brain does. The brain thinks something and then it accepts that as reality.
Oh,
that's what reality is.
Oh, yeah. The ability to not kind of like reason and maybe just have logic and I guess reason. I can't find a better word for it. Great example. Freshman year of high school, I'm walking through the halls. I see Micah DeNunzio and Andrea Lekkonen making out in front of a locker in the common area that connects like six hallways, right? So it's an area that there's a lot of traffic in. I walk by freshman high school. They're also freshmen. They're my classmates. They're peers. I've known them for 4 or 5 years, elementary school to middle school to high school. I walk by maybe the third day of school and go, get a room. Classic. I know. Killing day three of high school is Adam Ray. Get a room. It was 1998. I don't know when that joke went out of style, but I'll tell you this much. Very in style in Seattle, Washington in the late 90s. Get a room. My buddy goes, nice.
Did it kill?
And then I killed for the one guy who was like, fucking, you're like, I had my Joe Pesci to Daniel Stern, or maybe vice versa. I don't know who had the bigger dick in that dynamic. Maybe it was Stern who would have said nice to Pesci. Regardless, I had one guy to confirm, you got him, right? Fucking count
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Walk through.
Yeah.
All of high school, DeNunzio does not talk to me. And it's not something I lose sleep over. I just was always, I'd see him, he'd kind of stink eye me, pink eye me, red eye me. He'd fucking just eye fuck me. He didn't like me.
All the bad eyes.
Yeah. This Sunday, yeah. Harrison Ford. So he, all the bad eyes, he's got pink eye. What? It's not in the script, nice. Harrison. Yeah, guys. yeah, I don't know.
Got
what is
him.
That?
No, I did like it.
Okay. So all of high school doesn't talk to me. We're graduating. He comes up to me, swear to God, and goes, hey man, he goes, best of luck post-college or into college and stuff. I go, thanks, man. I go, you too. You know, it's just the end of the year. You bury the hatchet. Everyone's kind of a little sentimental and looking at each other, being like, man, even people you didn't, you know, Clement Lee, who I used to bust his balls. He was the first chair clarinet. I was almost dead last because I fucking would always squeak my way through the test and make jokes. So Mr. Harshman was like, you're in the back. And I would bust Clement's balls and always challenge him to test and then lose. And so I was like, Clement, I'm going to miss you, man. He was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, all right, you know. And so Micah is like, good luck in college. And by the way, I forgive you. And I go, what? And he goes, I hated you all of high school. And I go, what? And he goes, do you remember freshman year when you walked by me and Andrea making out and said, get a room? I go, yeah. He goes, I fucking hated you for that. I go, for 4 years? He goes, yeah. I go, I mean, we had classes. We just never, there were maybe not, there's always an opportunity to go out of your way to initiate some dialogue, but that was his reason. And it fucking was wow. just such a, I'll never forget that. I go, a 4-year grudge, wow. forget a room. And again, he, to your point, stuck on this thing and just was like, that's what it is. That's who Adam Ray is. He's a, you yeah, know, like yeah. he just pegged me with the Get a Room fan club and,
and
just kind of put an X on my back. And,
wow. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So that it can be, you got to do it in a safe place with professionals and with supervision. And I'm going to say ideally not televised, because there were things said about me that I wouldn't have more. It's more things that you say that you don't necessarily want out there, I guess. Yeah. I can't remember saying anything over the line, but you never know.
Speaking of roast jokes, how do you actually, speaking of just jokes, do you what is your go-to to make your daughter laugh? And how is she at the, what is funny to her? What is your go-to dad joke? What is the best thing that you can do that gets the best response from her that fills you with all the
joy? I mean, it's just the greatest. I really, the great upside of all of this, and I know a lot of dads that feel this way, is that you're just around all the time. So our life is a little bit like Little House on the Prairie. Basically, all we do is take care of the baby. Right now, she's napping. That's why we're doing this at this time. That's why yes. I suggested this time.
Yes.
And that's sort of the hard thing and the great thing. It's mostly the great thing. It gives you a lot of meaning. It gives you a lot of fulfillment. It gives you a purpose for the day. So I think that's sort of like timeless, ethereal, weird, what day is it thing sort of goes away. And you're like, I'm getting up because the baby gets up. Like, I got up at 5 because the baby got up at 5. And you have, I can't just, you know, she can't just go for a drive. So you get up.
Well, not
so
with that attitude.
It gives me.
Show her some confidence.
Gives me a lot of pleasure. And I'll say this, if I get like 2 hours to work, I'm very productive because I know it's like precious time. That's not what you asked, though.
I keep hearing, real quick, I hear that so much from comedy dads that they, I don't think I've heard it from a comedy dad that hasn't been like, I think Al Madrigal was the first to tell me, and then Sklar Brothers shared the same sentiment where they go, man, do I get more shit done. Greg Fitzsimmons, because it was like, I have this time to do it, and there's now like more of a deadline and more structure and more pressure. And
I think we all work a little bit better knowing that it's like a precious, special time.
Yes.
And so I can get more done because it's so rare. I say this, we wake up laughing. I mean, she's almost 2, so she's just talking. So now she'll wake up and she'll go like,
Alexa, play Hootie and the Blowfish. Yeah.
Not yet. And then it starts playing, was it Moby? No, Aria. Wait, Moby sort of looks like Michael Stipe.
Worst answer on Jeopardy ever.
That's why I say that.
What's that?
Michael Stipe looks a little bit like Moby. That's why I think I did that.
He does. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm 6'6" and I'm, you know, soft. And the way that I make her laugh is by being a jungle gym. So I'll put her on my shoulder, then I flip her upside down by the feet, and I do some, I think this is a tri, you tell me, this is a tricep.
Tricep curl, yeah. Very good.
I do some of that, and I swing her around, and it's just a lot of, she loves physical comedy. And then when it comes to, like, it's all the classics. It's like, they're playing with, like, perception. So, like, close, far, loud, quiet. They're learning the ingredients of the universe. Like, right. Everything is sort of equal to them. And then you realize, she slowly realizes, like, it's a choice. If daddy swoops into your face real fast, he's funny. That's funny because that's not normal. And if we're using the definition of a joke as a benign violation, meaning it's a safe breaking of the rules.
Yes.
She already understands that. So if I eat funny, or if I take her pacifier and put it in, these are all bits. She's laughing all day. She's a great laugher. It's so
what is
fun.
That? And it just feels, I mean, what's better? That,
it's the
I
greatest mean, feeling.
You can't even compare that laugh to a sold out theater show.
It's different.
Trying a new bit.
One is cocaine. That's cocaine. Like we all do cocaine. Comedians do cocaine. Yeah. I don't mean literally.
I want to just go ahead and say this is Pete's. This is Pete's problem, and
I've never done cocaine, but if it's anything like doing a set, I understand why people are going crazy for it, yeah. You know, in certain parts or whatever.
By the way, but me neither. I think we're in a small community of comics that have not done coke. There's probably a lot of comics that haven't done it.
I mean, there's a mirrored piano. I love pot, done mushrooms.
But I don't think I'd be... I feel like you're the same way. Like, my mind's already racing, forget man. It. Just don't listen. I feel like I'd be that guy being like, dude, chicken tenders are... If you want to know the full story of chicken tenders, like, I'm talking about stuff that nobody wants.
I'm already that guy. Dude, remember my Whitney Cummings impression? I'm already too much.
Yeah.
Everything that I imbibe, even mushrooms, is to kind of quiet down and go in a little bit.
Yes.
Cocaine is like a... I'm having a hard time... I could talk to you about fucking Alpha Brain, anything on my desk for the importance of ginger. Like, fuck off. I need the opposite of cocaine. But what I do is stand up, and that feels like cocaine. But so my daughter's laughter is so much more organic and so much more natural and appropriate. Stand up, part of the... Chris Rock had this hilarious thing he said on his Comedians in Cars, where he's like, can you imagine if you went to school one day and your daughter, who's like 12 years old, is in front of everyone in the school and they're all laughing? You'd think the devil had happened, like something weird was going on. It's like the least natural thing, or maybe it's the most impressive thing, or maybe the most difficult thing for one person to hold the attention of 300. It's like such a weird thing.
Yes.
But to make your baby laugh. So one's cocaine and one's a sunset. Sunsets feel differently from cocaine, but it's not better or worse. It's just a completely different field.
Do you ever feel like you're shaping her comedic sensibility by, if you're like, dude, if I'm still doing the pacifier bit when she's nine, we have not done our job. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but yes, the whole thing isn't just her sense of humor. It's how she interprets reality. And what parents are doing, I think, when they're raising a child, is they're teaching them to interpret reality how you interpret reality. Mm. So I always have an example from the day I talk about my daughter, because every day a million things happen. Mm. This morning, I said she woke up at 5 and she had she had pee in her diaper. And the reason you want to change a pee diaper is because she's going to get a diaper rash. And she doesn't like that. So you wish you could explain that to her, because she doesn't want me to change her diaper. But you're trying to say, like, please let me change your booty. You're going to get a rash. She doesn't understand that the future doesn't exist. The past doesn't exist. She's right. The needle is on the record. She's in the moment. She just wants to play with her dad. So in that moment, you have a choice. You can say reality doesn't care that you want to play and be silly. Reality says you need to change your diaper right now because you will get a rash. But then if you just pause for 1 second and go, but wait, she normally gets up around 7. That means she would have been sleeping in this diaper for 2 more hours and I would have been fine with it. Mm-hmm. So let's bring a little bit more three-dimensionality to my logic, dad is right logic. You actually have a 2-hour window within which to change this diaper and still be completely rash-free. So you're trying to say, what I'm trying to teach her is the moment is important. We can be easy on ourselves. We can still change your diaper, and we did. About 30 minutes later, there was still some crying, but you still waited. So I'm teaching her that not only jokes are important, but that reality itself, to a certain extent, is a conspiracy of agreed stories between people about what's acceptable, what's polite, what's appropriate, even what's fair and what's unfair. People disagree about this. So the whole thing is in from one stance is a joke. So let's laugh and enjoy it, because you can't control it. You're in a river. the best thing to do is realize you're in a river, trust that you're being held by the river. And I don't mean that means prosperity and safety for you. I just mean you're sort of in the controlless space that we all are.
Yes.
And instead of being afraid of that, enjoy it and try to use it to your advantage. And that's what comedy is. Comedy goes, holy shit, we have no control. We're floating in space. Let's try to use that fear to our advantage. And I'm trying to do that with my daughter. Even... Wow. So it's more than just teaching her to laugh. It's teaching her to interpret reality
yes.
as not against her.
Wow, dude. Fuck, dude.
Let's
I know parents.
Let's smoke some weed, dude. Let's smoke some weed.
No, dude, you've got it. You've got it right, man. I mean, and it's impressive. I know parents that are just trying to get their kids to not bite other kids and at two.
Well, I'm sure we'll get there. We're sort of in a sweet spot.
Do you feel overwhelmed even raising a child in, and we can quickly move on if that's a question you feel like you've gotten from, or you've discussed too much about raising a kid is, but I can't imagine. And you know, my girlfriend and I are, I don't know, 3-4 years away from it maybe, but then also who knows? Like we might, you know, do some cocaine and just fucking pull the goalie. And that's that. Here comes fucking.
And Obama's Marin.
And Obama's Marin Ray is the worst name for a child. And, but also, hey, click, like that kid will have so many Google searches. But so how do you even think about that? Or you just go, again, control what we can control, which is right now with her, and not try to think about, man, what's college going to be like for her if this is the state of affairs we're still trying to navigate through, if there's still this much racism? How do you have to think far ahead and go, man, when she gets to 13, let's really kind of bust open the history books at 10 and try to get her on the path of understanding what being a good person means and right and wrong and how much of that went? Or do you just go, let's make sure they're a kid as long as possible, and they'll find that stuff out. But you want to get in the way. It's like the sex talk. You want to, you know, my mom gave me condoms before I was even doing it. You know, in my act, I'm like, was it weird? Yeah. You know, was I 9? Almost, you know, and were they magnets? Yeah. She believed in me, whatever. But it was, it was way ahead of schedule for real. But it was also, she didn't want me to do it without it. She was trying to get ahead of it. So do you want to do that as a parent and be like, this is what's
going
on?
It's like the European wine theory. Like give your kids wine when they're kids
because
at the table. So it's not a taboo.
Because hearing it from other, right, you're a product of your environment. So it's like if you can control who her friends become and this and that. But right, once you get to a certain point, they're hanging around kids or this and that. You don't know all the conversations. Maybe something... And again, you've done your part at home to get on a path of knowing, like, this is what the Holmes household, like this is being a good person. And then, like, you get stuff thrown your way from other kids. Like, how do you – am I asking a question in there?
No, you are asking a question. It's not a question about parenting, I don't think. It's a question about life. It's the whole question. And so the I'll give you the whole answer, and it's an optimistic answer if you're thinking about having kids in 4 years or whatever it might be.
Probably
or 40, if you're thinking about if you're thinking about I'm 41, so I mean you'd be 1 year older than I was, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. Seems like the sweet spot, by the way.
I mean, especially when you have a weird career that takes a long time to sort of solidify. I had a lot of peatness to get out of my system before I could sort of die into a child. When people hear that, they mean, oh, that means your life is over. I don't mean that. I just needed to isolate and identify where the peat was so I could put it aside when I needed to for a child. And that is a much richer thing to do, just as
that's
I always say.
That's beautiful.
So the answer is about like, so what we do with change. And my homeboy Ram Dass says, make friends with change. And that's a really good way to look at the world, right? Make friends with change. Because it's happening and it's going to happen. The good news is even the pregnancy is this really transformative thing, especially for the women. I can't speak for women, but it seems to be for my wife. It's this huge thing. It's the thing you thought you couldn't do. So it's a very profound thing to go through it and still be here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is what transformation is. Transformation is the thing you thought you couldn't survive happens, and then there you are. So you have a kid, I have a kid, and then that becomes the new normal. And you almost can't even remember what your life was like before. This is so your life, and it's so wonderful. And I don't spend all my time comparing it to what it used to be. It's just this. I've made friends with that change. And then the richness and the beauty and the truth and the light and all that stuff is completely true. I sort of look at my old life. Maybe I shouldn't do this, but I do. I sort of go like, what was I even doing? I was eating sandwiches because like now it has so much. It's all about Leela in this really right. beautiful. People need meaning more than they even realize it. And a baby is so much meaning and it's so much purpose in your life. So I sort of look back at my life and I'm like, I think I was just like, I wanted more Twitter followers. I don't even know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So just in the same way a pregnancy can be transformative, having a baby is the thing that maybe you're worried is going to destroy Adam Ray and the idea of Adam Ray and the story of Adam Ray. And then you have a baby, and then there you are. You're breathing, you're alive, you're happy. Don't get me wrong, sometimes you're tired, sometimes you're frustrated, all this, but you used to be tired and frustrated before.
Sure.
And all of these new things are blossoming. So when we talk about like whether or not we worry about what's coming, that is also a life philosophy. It's like, I understand maybe here's a real uninvestigated belief that a lot of people have, myself included. Worrying about the future helps me.
Yeah.
Like I really think people need to take that thought and any uninvestigated beliefs that they have and really examine it. Mm-hmm. If you want a book on this that I highly recommend, it's called Loving What Is. It's by Byron Katie. It's incredible. So that's what it's all about, is taking a thought like worrying about the future is good or is helpful or helps me prepare mm-hmm. in some way. It's nonsense. The amount of time that I could spend worrying about what Leela will be like with this or this, it's just a distrust of the universe. It's looking at the universe as something that we are visiting, not something that we are. I know I sound very new agey right now, but if you sort of have a trust in the lawful unfolding that includes chaos, that includes Leela having weird friends, that includes Leela getting mad at me. And if you don't resist reality, but you go, this is what's happening, you can make friends with change. You can make friends with the present moment. And the short answer is, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about things that are completely out of my control, don't even exist. And if we can all take something from COVID, you all thought you were going to be, for me, on tour, for people listening, maybe in school, maybe on at their jobs, maybe on a vacation that they were planning, maybe at a wedding. Guess what? Reality is what's real. Reality is what reigns, and reality is always in the here and now. So if we learn something from this, it is a certain surrender, but not a sad surrender, a letting go and a flowing with what is that can really bring some of those, I should be doing that. Well, that's not happening. So what can we say yes to today to get some of those thoughts that are really tormenting us out of the way and let reality into the way? Does that make sense?
Fuck yeah, dude. Pete, yeah, dude, this is again why I just miss talking to you on a regular basis. Like you've got an outlook and a point of view and a way of breaking down, life that is, I, you know, when somebody says something and you go, that's what I meant to say. That's what I think. Yeah.
I think everybody already knows this. And a lot of what I was just saying does come from Loving What Is. So I really do want to promote that book. It's not spiritual. There's no God talk in it. It's just talking about what stories your brain is telling you. And it's fucking incredible, and I love it, and people should definitely check out Loving What Is. But like, when the reason I'm into these spiritual things, right, and I don't mean religious things, and I don't want anyone to belong to my group, and I don't even need people to believe what I believe, the reason I love them is because there is a part in us when we hear them that goes, I knew that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what I'm sort of addicted to.
Yeah,
you go, motherfucker, I knew that. But like, it's all of these uninvestigated stories that are happening. That's basically what yoga is. Yoga is, you want to see your true self. So you want to get the ocean of your mind still. So it's a good mirror to see your true self. But unfortunately, like we were saying, it's the monkey mind. It's the drunken monkey. It's constantly, that guy said, get a room to me. That was a 4-year story. The damage he did of replaying that for 4 years was the damage.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't you saying it. So if he so here's a little taste of what
the
Byron
amount of
Katie
Joann
does.
Fabrics trips he took to construct voodoo dolls that looked like me or were me. I mean, I would love to see the receipt from Joann.
He's got them all, and they're very accurate. He said Adam Ray should be nice to me. Is the uninvestigated belief there, right?
Yeah.
Adam Ray shouldn't torment me, and what she does is she flips it. My thoughts shouldn't torment me. My thoughts should be nice to me. There's always a way to reverse it, because it was the thought of you doing that was tormenting him way more than you actually doing it. So that's a little taste. I can't
totally
really do it. But
because really at the core of it too, I mean, if you really wanted to get deep down into it, I probably was deflecting and saw a guy getting to make out and really own it. And be bold and fucking, I think he was grabbing his own dick while he was doing, I might have added that in my head.
Oh my God.
But like, it was a sexy fucking locker makeout.
Dude, I remember the makeouts I saw in high school.
Yeah, and you get jealous. I mean, 3 days in, he's already got a girlfriend.
There was a girl
publicly tonguing.
There was a girl in high school that I almost dated. I wrote about this in my book, which is called Comedy
Sex
God.
I'm very proud of it. So good. Go get it.
Oh, thanks.
Where's the main place to get it, by the way?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Barnes & Noble.
I do. It is on Amazon. I think you could support a local bookseller, which would be a great thing to do. Or it's on HarperCollins' website.
Okay, great.
But you probably
know how to get books.
Go to Amazon.
Yeah. Go get it.
Get a book.
Comedy Sex God.
But there was this girl that I had a crush on in high school, and she asked me, I was very religious. I grew up evangelical, basically. And she asked me if I was going to wait to have sex until marriage. And I said, yes. And I actually thought I was impressing her. I was like, oh, aren't I devout? And then I heard, so this is gossip. It may not be true, but somebody said she wanted to date you, but she didn't want to date you if you didn't want to do anything sexually. So I was like, really, I was like, oh man, I just made a huge sacrifice for God in my mind. And then like a week later, she was making out with this kid, and a very like scrawny sort of skater kid. Like he was cool in a way that I never was. And they were making out in the quad, and I still remember where they were. In fact, I walked around my old high school recently, and I noted the spot where it was, because it's still in my brain.
Of course.
And me with my courier bag stuffed with every book, which you don't need, Pete, you don't need to bring every book to every class. But
you know the classes you have that day. Leave science
Quasimodo
at home.
Quasimodo. Yes, I had them all. Or you know Dan Chow is going to bring his earth science book. Just borrow from him. He sits next to you. Because he has a better place locker. My locker's all the way. It didn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
I deliberately walked. I did not avoid them. In fact, I altered my course to walk past them, aggressively making out, as if to say to her, like, you're missing what you could have this Philadelphia cream cheese over here. You had to go over to that guy. You could have this sort of flavorless spread.
Who cares if his bag zits pop themselves? You can help me with mine, and we can build some camaraderie. I don't know. That sounded better in my head. But you're right. There is.
I liked it.
To walk right. Yeah, that's. You thought you were kind of being defiant and being like, I'm over it, right? Like, I'm.
Well, talk about an uninvestigated thought. I'm like, she saw. I'd love to know. I mean,
let's get on the phone.
I'm pretty sure her eyes were deeply closed. They were really going for it. There were so many people in my high school that just seemed to have no idea how horny high school boys are.
Sweet, I was like, Jesus.
This is like five cars crashing into each other at an intersection. That's how insane what's happening right now is. And maybe they did know. I've thought about that. I was like, I think if I was a woman, had I been born a woman or however you want to say that, I would have been like, I would have wanted to be like a brassy, sexy woman. And that's helped me try to understand and empathize and whatever with that idea. I was like, that power, imagine being that powerful. Oh, yeah. And being like, I'd be like a real Marilyn Monroe walking on the subway crate, like, whoopsie. Like, I would have loved it. I would have loved it. That's what stand-up is. Stand-up is just you and me on stage going, whoopsie, did you see my butt?
He said whoopsie. Like
that's all his catchphrase.
Yeah.
So, of course, if I was a woman, I've done this on stage before. It never really worked. I would want to have been one of those women that, like, smoked a small cigar.
Yeah.
And people called her a broad. And she drinks, like, Manhattans. And just, like, an old-timey girl with big tattoos and just,
She's like, you ever seen an implant scar? Well, you're gonna. And she pulls her shirt to the side and then goes, "Psych, it's gonna cost you." Good night, everybody.
That is me.
Don't you? That is me.
I'm not saying that would be me. I'm saying that's who I am.
Of course. Don't you think, real quick, there is something to, and I think this is my comic brain where I'm like, and this is how I think now. If you're going to, like, if Trump is going to say, person, woman, man, camera, TV, and brag about a dementia test, whatever that, and spend as much time, like, and do the things that he's going to do and own it, then, and it's silly, and where I think the masses can regard it as like, if someone's going to do something, if I'm going to dress up, if I'm going to wear just a condom and walk down Hollywood Boulevard and try to act like I'm on par
from your
with,
mom.
From my mom. My boy. It's the one I gave him. That's all she would say. She wouldn't say that I should stop and that I could be arrested. She'd be like, I gave him that. And he's using
it
for good.
You always wear a gift. When she comes over, you got to put on the gift. It's like wearing the Christmas sweater. You got to roll on that condom.
Oh,
and
my
just
God.
Tell her you're wearing it.
That's so funny, by the way, that I may need to add to the bit of like she.
No, please.
Like it's the mom thing where you're like, you need to kind of give her the satisfaction that the gift went to good use.
And of course,
like,
I have to wear it when she comes over.
I have to tell her when I put it on, you know, tell her how much the girl enjoy, you know. But so if I walk down Hollywood Boulevard and act like I'm on par with the characters on Boulevard and try to take pictures with people. People should get to make fun of what I'm doing. So when I see someone boldly, bravely making out viciously, aggressively on the third day of school, to me, I'm like, that's hunting seat. You're open for.
Of course.
Right. So that's how I viewed that. And
that's what's so great about investigating thinking is like. You were jealous. You know what I mean? Like, what is both sides of it?
1,000%.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Of course you were jealous. Get a room. I would have loved to get a room.
He should have looked at me and been like this, or grabbed her butt and looked at me and been like, you don't get to do that. Yeah. And then I go,
is anyone in your mom's room right now? That seems high school. What about your room, kid?
Oh, dude.
It seems empty because you're here. Maybe we'll do it in your room. If you see two mummies making out, you go, get a tomb. Okay.
Oh, whoa, dude.
If you see two Kevin Jameses making out, you go, get a here comes the boom.
Wait, if you see two, I see this. I need to fucking say it. If you see two comics working out material, in the mirror, you go, dude, get a Zoom.
Oh, there
show?
It is.
Zoom show.
Get
and then you have
Zoom.
To, yeah.
Get a Zoom. Or you just see two people talking without face masks in public. Get a Zoom.
Yeah.
Get
a
Zoom.
or
you see
picking
a guy
up...
in hell with a gun shooting demons. You go, get a Doom.
Or you see... Well, you see people picking up the lint off their hardwood floors. You go, get a room, buh.
I like it.
You got to hit that buh hard, though. Otherwise, Mike D'Annunzio is going to go, fuck you, Ray.
Stick the buh. You know what else you should be grateful for is in high school, you get the fun of being mad at somebody.
I know.
And he says, get a room. Like, you, like, really check in with yourself.
I know.
Don't you love it? Don't you love that you get to say to your girlfriend, too, probably later, and that guy says, get a room for me? Like, you love it.
By the way,
you love it.
Accurate voice for not knowing or hearing Micah D'Annunzio. Let's be honest.
I know the D'Annunzios. I went to school with Scotty D'Annunzio. Always making out in the hallways.
Always.
Also, don't make out at the 6-point intersection of your high school. It's like making out on NBC. Go into the hallway that's Stars. Go into the hallway that's Quibi. Go to the Quibi hallway.
Pete, you're a goddamn gem. You're a hero. You're a savant. You're one of my favorite people. And you know what? You're most people's favorite person. And
that's very sweet.
And I'm honored to call you a friend and to be able to do these and laugh. And you just made my weekend. I know. And guess what? And now if I go back to my shower, when I go back to my shower, this could be it for bathing for me. But when I shower again and request Hootie, if Alexa is defiant again, you know, like this now, this, you need these Heisman, especially now, to carry you through. And I'm always like, I probably sometimes greedy when I get a good set or a good feeling from an audition. I try to take that high as long as I can.
Yeah,
and sometimes you can't control when it's going to stop, but I try to ride that fucking, you know, I try to feel that, of going down Splash Mountain as long as possible because man, in life, and then, you know, I feel like this business, especially, it's all I know, the highs and lows are just so abrasive. So, man, stuff like this is really special, and it's
I'm with
awesome
you.
To me. Yeah, man.
I you could tell. I mean, if you want more proof of it, I lit up so much. I always love talking to you. I always love seeing you, and I'm sure we will see each other soon.
Yeah.
But thank you for suggesting this. I'm glad to call you a friend, too. And this was so good. I've been so Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wait a minute. I think I love talking to Adam. I love talking to comedians. I love riffing around.
Well, you're still podcasting, right? I mean, you made it weird.
My podcast.
Still, yeah.
That's right. Yep. Check it out. If you haven't listened to Adam's episode, it's great. Listen to Brad's episode. Is this No More Brad?
No More Brad. We're Sans Dwarf. Yeah. He's a father as well and crushing it. And, you know, we did 500 plus eps and a lot, you know, a lot. It was maybe almost 6 years and just a lot goes into it. And I think he just wanted to go, I'm going to be a comic and I'm going to be a dad and I'm going to make those my focuses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so that being said, I will be auditioning, new dwarves. I don't know when, probably 2021. Some would argue now is the time to do it. I don't live near a forest, so it's one of those things where you have to.
I don't live near a forest.
Okay, all right. Easy joke. Brad loves it. We made fun. The first time I said to Brad.
We had a long conversation about how easy little people jokes are.
Yeah.
And that's not yours. I'm just saying, like, anyone can do it. That's what makes it so.
And Brad is. First of all, brilliant, and I noticed this from day one of becoming friends with him, of making the jokes first to make you comfortable, but he also, being a great comic and just a funny individual, will give it up if you make a good joke. So it's almost like, don't just fucking throw it at, like, you know, when we would be potting and there was an opportunity, I would say one. If it got him laughing and he piggybacked on it, I knew it was good. If it happened and we moved on, you know, it's neither here nor there, not bad, not good, whatever. But he still appreciates the joke of it, which you have to.
Yeah.
Right?
No, he's so fun. He's so fun.
Enjoy the rest of your day. I don't choke.
Yeah, man.
What is that?
I had a little lint in my mouth. I don't know where it came from.
Get a room, buh. Still works. Still works. Dude, I hope we're better coming out of this. I think, you know, to still acknowledge those jokes, but still, because I, you know, I, and there's so much more comedy talk, and we'll do it. We'll do this again. But the, you know, this type of stuff too keeps your mind sharp, and you know, to not be, I don't know if you're writing as, you know, feverishly as you were when we were not in this, but the potting and the this yeah, stuff, it helps to just, right? It helps to keep your sensibility.
Use it or lose it, baby. Yeah,
there it is.
I always get a little sad when I write down a premise because I'm like, what, do I put this in a bottle and throw it into the ocean? Like, who is this for?
Who's going to find this? Fucking Tony Robbins? I don't know, dude. Baskin Robbins?
On one of my power walks, I found a bottle with a joke. It says, if you see two mummies making out, say, get it to them. Ah, ha, ha, ah, ha, ha, ha,
ha. Never attempted, never seen a Tony Robbins impression, only seen the doc. Spot on, dude. Spot on. Because he has a big, talk about a guy that when he laughs, you feel like he's put a curse on your family. And when he breaks you down to cry, you feel like you owe him money. And you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do. And you do.
And you do. Yeah. And you do. he's taking your debit card out of your back pocket as you're weeping. Yeah. But,
T-Robs.
All right, Pete, enjoy the weekend. Comedy, Sex, God, wherever books are sold.
That would mean a lot of people. Check that out.
You Made It Weird. And PeteHolmes.com for specials and all the jazz,
right?
There
you go. There you go.
Go binge watch Crashing. This is the time. I'm sure you're getting those messages, right?
Well, that is something I should be promoting more, is because I know people are looking for things to watch. And boy, did we work hard on that show, and I'm proud of it. So it's on HBO Max.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
It's so good. I probably told you this last time we potted, but I got my my mom into it, and she binged. She binge watches a show if she loves it, and she's very picky, dude. And she went right through it, dude. She's gotten a front row seat to this world, but dude, she just fucking, I mean, called me after every episode because I was just like, it was also because it was so close to home that she wanted to talk about it. And
that was this sounds a little pretentious, but I was like, I wanted to make a show that helped parents of comedians and helped friends of comedians and just helped our species, help them be understood a little bit more. I always had that ready to say when I met Seinfeld. I can't remember if I said this to him. I think probably I did. But he, when he made Comedian, the documentary, I was like, thanks for making it easier for people to understand what we do. So I'm glad that had that effect on you. I really
so
am.
So good. All right, buddy.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Petey. I'll talk to you soon.
Can I just quit?
I think you just quit, right? Yeah. Yeah. Gage says you're good.
Okay.
All right,
Bye, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Bill Gates. Wow. Can't believe it. Who's Q?
I'm making it, damn it.